Good evening and welcome to What Should I Watch, episode 20. I'm here with Mike and Mark. How are you doing, boys?
Full score into our recordings.
Oh my goodness. We've got so much to get through.
We made it, guys. We made it.
So much to get through.
It's almost. So whose fault was it last week?
It was quite possibly mine.
I think it was. I think it was Mike's.
We were being studious, Mike.
I was.
It's funny the way psychological safety works in this podcast, isn't it? The only thing we really care about is whose fault it was.
It all starts off with a bit of finger pointing. It doesn't matter if we all attended or not.
And once two people have fixed on one individual, then we can abuse them.
They're like a pack of hyenas, really.
It's like a case study in the opposite of psychological safety. Many years from now, some college professor will walk into some fucking business training program and goes, "Today I'd like to talk about psychological safety." "What is it, you say?" "Well, here's what it isn't." And on will come the three lads, episode 20.
Yeah, Mike, did you chain your blocks? Look at him there, chaining blocks, ignoring us.
Sorry, Steve, I'm not yet qualified to chain a block. So
no, you're getting there, are you?
Getting
blockchain away,
maybe this time next year.
So what do you have to do this year? Just buy a whole lot of graphics cards.
That and some kidneys to pay for the graphics cards.
Shares and Nvidia. Yeah. Although I heard they're without a boss at the moment. I wonder what's going on there.
There's a lot of bosses been disappearing lately.
There has, hasn't there?
It was funny once. Ghislaine Maxwell went on trial. The amount of CEOs that retired.
Nothing to do with Christmas. Nothing to do with COVID. No, sorry.
That's a hell of a black book. They didn't produce in evidence.
It is, isn't it? Say that cost a bit. Anyway. What have we been doing apart from abusing blocks?
I think it's time we flagged something to Paddy Power, right? Season 2 of The Witcher is coming out on the 17th, which is the day you'll be listening to this very podcast on Netflix. You might remember that season 1 came out and the episodes were released out of chronological order.
Okay.
Wonder, will they do that this time?
Mm-hmm. Would you be a bit man?
This is what I'm suggesting Paddy Power gets involved in. Also, if they do that, we won't know for the first week because it'll only be one episode.
Oh, yeah. Unless they all die at the start.
Well, yeah. then we'll know.
Yeah. There's a big funeral procession at the start. What do we watch this week? Super Crooks. What's that about? Mark.
Do you remember when I talked about Jupiter's Legacy?
Yes.
Yes.
And how I loved that show. I loved it to death. And then it left me.
It was cancelled.
Which I still cannot believe. I cannot believe they've done it, right?
Even I kind of liked it, which was totally out of...
totally out of character. Yeah. So Jupiter's Legacy is set in the Millerverse, right? Super Crooks is in the same universe, except this anime TV show features villains, obviously. Mm-hmm. And... I started watching there at the start of the week, and it full-on references the people in Jupiter's Legacy, right? The Utopian, and those guys are mentioned. It's like they're part of that universe. So it's like, I'm hoping there'll be a collision between these guys. I can't remember. They're not called the Justice League, but it's something else. It's like that. I hope those guys meet up with supervillains. So the first episode is the backstory to one of the main supervillains in this, who has electric powers.
Love the electric powers.
So he's a teenager and his powers have just kind of blossomed, basically. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to figure out his life, you know, in that whole kind of with great power and all that.
Yeah.
And that's the first episode. And it's a bit of a slow burn. But when they got to their main event towards the end of the episode, I was just going, this is brilliant. I cannot believe that just happened.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It looks like it's dubbed.
Okay. How does that work?
Well, it's from Japan, I think. Uh-huh. So presumably the original animation was done for Japanese language.
Okay, right.
So okay. And this is weird now, but even
they
if you look at
the American, do they?
But even if you look at them, it's weird, like, because it has the same effect when you're watching something dubbed in, you know, yeah, like, something real life filmed, but not as bad, obviously. There's that. And that's kind of, that'd be the only thing I would say against it. I need to see how the story develops. I've only seen an episode and a half so far. And 3/4 of the way through the first episode, I was going, ah, God, I don't know if this is going to be worth my time. But then the way it finished, like I've mentioned, is super, super strong. So I was going, right, okay. They know where they're going with this. That wasn't just a kind of a, let's give a wee tickle to our idea here. We're full on going for it. So that being the case, I said I'd start watching the next episode. The next episode started really well as well. So I'm interested to see how it develops. I think it's really good. So it only just dropped on Netflix there last week, maybe last Friday or something like that.
Okay.
Really fresh. So cool. Check it out. Super Crooks. Yeah. I think you should watch it.
Cool. I watched a movie from 2019, I think, yesterday it's called. It's 2019. And it's about a struggling musician who realizes he's the only person on earth who can remember the Beatles after waking up in an alternate timeline where they never existed after a certain incident occurred.
That came out. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember that? Yeah. Do you remember that trailer? And it all was meant to get to it. I was like, okay, I'm going to get to it.
Yeah, it was an interesting idea, yeah.
Yeah, I only re-remembered it recently. Mm-hmm. What do you call it? Hemish Patel and Lily James. And
the guy that was a bard for the Lannisters is in this, isn't he?
Who is he?
Ed Sheeran. You
know, Ed Sheeran. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Forgot about that, yeah.
I don't know who he is, but he's some tiny part in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, he had a good part in this. It was good because they needed a rock star. They needed someone to show how far our protagonist had gotten, let's say, because he was like playing every gig and he wasn't great, you know. He really wasn't great. Now, he could sing and he could play, but it's just the songs were kind of shite. And the only person who liked them was the lady who's secretly in love with him, of course, you know. And she happened to be his manager.
Concords.
Very much so. Very much so. Until this event happens. And then
I'm out.
And so then he's sitting around with a bunch of buddies and they say, just play something, you know, just play anything, you know, they're just make us feel better kind of thing, you know. And so he plays Yesterday and it's an amazing rendition. But they're all going, fucking hell, what is that? And he goes, Yesterday, what are you talking about? And he thinks they're taking the piss out of him, you know, and he gets really pissed off. And so then he discovers that it's not just them, that no one knows who Oasis is either. And there's a few other things as well, you know. Of course, Oasis being inspired by, you know.
I'm starting to come back into wanting to see this movie now.
Yeah.
Does it feature music apart from the goddamn Beatles?
It's mostly the Beatles, 95%. But it's really good, and they're really good renditions. And there isn't a shitload of them that you have to sit through or anything like that. It's not like watching a musical.
No, I like music. I just don't like music. I don't like.
Oh yeah, that's fair enough. You know, you might like this guy's versions. So, I mean, he's a good singer-songwriter from that angle. You know, and he's quite easy on the eye for you too, Mark. So so you might like that angle too. So anyway, it's a real feel-good.
We all know what angle that is, Steve.
It's a real feel-good, nice movie, you know. It's not particularly fantastic, amazing. I guess that's why we didn't hear more about it. But if you're looking for something that is inoffensive and a feel-good movie, it's great. If you like music, watch it. You know, there is that side story with the love interest and blah, 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 which they could have done without, which 99% of the time they could in these kind of movies. But I guess they're trying to spread the appeal to other demographics. But it's shot well. They're, you know, decent budget. It's very convincing that in the path that he takes, and there's a couple of twists and turns in there, the twist and turn probably the opposite way that you think they're going to go, which is great as well. So
good. Okay.
Yeah. So overall,
a bit more to it.
Yeah. For a nice feel good movie. I'd give this a six. Yeah. Strong six. Yeah. So, What else did we see? Mark, you also were watching something called Invasion. Did you finish this?
I finished Invasion.
Yeah.
Oh, no spoilers, man. No spoilers.
No, I'm not going to spoil it on you. All I will say is I thoroughly enjoyed the season as a whole.
Mm.
That was very good. Right. And it dovetails really well from start to the end of season one. Really good. Everything just kind of locks in together.
Mm-hmm.
And then watching the last episode.
Because it's a bit disjointed to start with, isn't it?
Yeah.
But this is the one with five different stories, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it dovetails well by the end, right? Is all I'm going to say there. Okay. Right? And I think that's it was really good the way they did that. I just want to say this, right? So then the last episode, I confess that I thought the second last episode was the last one. And then when this one came on, I kind of went, well, what the fuck are you going to talk about here? Which is all done. And
doing a Game of Thrones, but kill the main guy in the ninth episode. And
epilogue.
And then, it was like an epilogue. Yeah, an epilogue is a good word. So they started off, and I'm saying, this is a giant lap around the pitch. Like, you're carrying the trophy of everything you've done for the last nine episodes, going for a run so everyone can see how great you are. But it's completely unnecessary. And frankly, I'm a little bit bored out of my wits. And then it wasn't. Then all of a sudden you went, all right, okay. So it's really good. It's really good. There is a very, very long 30 minutes in that last episode, but stick with it.
All right.
Seems to be my message for the day today, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Super crooks in this one. I wouldn't mind mentioning something else that I went back and watched that actually isn't on the list there. So
yep.
I don't know where you were going next, but I went back into part two of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
Oh, did you?
Oh, brave man. Well done.
I got part two, as in episode two.
I've seen all the episodes in part one.
Oh, it's like your
six of them?
Yeah, gotcha.
Six of them. So it's the second half of season one, really.
Yeah, gotcha.
So I'm back into this one. And it's pretty good, you know. It's pretty good. So, like, I like that what they're doing is they've taken the characters from the 80s, and I don't want to just repeat my review of the first part because we did talk about this, but it is that they took the characters from the 80s, pretended that, you know, it was for adults and that everything was real, and then kind of let those pieces move then under their own inertia. And it's really good. And there's obviously a big cliffhanger at the end of part one, which I won't mention because it's all on Netflix. You can go and watch it. And then it comes into season two, but there's a couple of really good moments in this, you know, that I'm quite enjoying. They get into the psychology of Evelyn.
All right.
And why she's the way she is, which is good, which is something I never mentioned about Super Crooks. When I started watching that, I said, well, look, how are you going to convince me that these evil people with superpowers are worth rooting for? Because if you can't do that, I'm not going to be interested in the TV show. They kind of did that kind of thing with Evelyn too. And especially in now that she's being a bit more evil, it was really nicely timed, you know. I like it. It's not top of my list of things I go to watch.
Does really sound like their testicles are smacked off your chin a few times. So.
You never let me know, Michael.
Never let us down, Mike.
Anyway, look, if you're anyway interested in the property, in the Masters of the Universe property, give it a look. It is pretty good, I think. Got a lot of very bad good. Press there for part one.
Very good. Mike, you've been watching it here this first. Week?
I took Mark's advice and I finished off Foundation.
And, Michael?
Did you?
I did.
No spoilers now. I have two left.
I've actually dropped the Foundation story from my enjoyment of this. I'm loving the Empire story.
Mm, they're really cool, aren't they? The Kleons.
Yeah, I mean, it's not... I've said it before, I said it again. It's not part of the Foundation story, but I'm actually enjoying this more than what they're doing with the rest of it. Very interesting ideas, and the actors carry it so well.
They do, yeah. They're very good, all three of them.
I mean, just when they're on screen, especially together, the there's electric chemistry between them. It's absolutely brilliant what they've done with it. I wouldn't say it was total cliffhanger to finish, but I like the way they wrapped it up, and I can see it's well set for a new season.
Yeah, it's almost like it's not so much a cliffhanger. It's more like they have the building blocks now for what will be a good story, but they're not really showing you too much.
Yeah. Despite all my reservations, good job, Apple.
All right, Apple. So that's Apple all 2 for 2 now between that and Invasion. That's one of theirs as well.
Very good. I got to Paul Hollywood Eats Japan. It's on Netflix. It's 3 episodes in the season. Paul Hollywood.
Paul Hollywood from Great British Bake Off.
I didn't know that until today.
Did you not?
No, I didn't know who the guy is. I never watched Great British Bake Off.
Has he not rolled your wife?
I'm not surprised he has. Has he really? Yeah. He's a bit of a player.
Terrible reputation.
Oh, terrible. My reputation.
6 Turn of Windsor in the 6-1 dormitory.
4 o'clock at this girl's dorm. So I didn't know who he was. I just thought he was like some British, you know, daytime TV kind of guy. I didn't know who he was, and he was a scouser. That's all I knew about him.
Some dreamy guy that all of your wives really want to be with.
He did seem actually very sound. He did seem like a normal kind of dude.
Oh, they always do.
That's the danger now, Mike. That's the danger. So, he goes to Japan, and it's very apparent that he hasn't traveled much in Asia. From his description, I always thought it was just like rice and noodles, you know, and he's a baker. So he went over to discover all their foods, and he discovered that, you know, Tokyo is more Michelin stars than, you know, everywhere else put together. You know, they've like 220 of them or something ridiculous. Right. So he spends a couple of weeks there, but it spread over 3 episodes. And so he goes to the north, he goes south, and he goes to Tokyo, and he goes to Kyoto and Hiroshima and so on. But he tries bucket loads of different types of food, you know, some that he does like and some that he just can barely get into his mouth, blah, 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 right? But it's quite a lighthearted and informative and quite educational and entertaining look at Japan. I've actually started rewatching it with my older son, and he's really enjoying it. And he wants to watch more in Japan. He's got more interest in blah, blah, blah. So next up is James May's Man in Japan series. So it's a lot of the same kind of thing, but it's not
the Asian thing. For a second, I was going, why are you watching cookery programs with your kids?
Well,
and then I get it now. It's about Asia. Asia thing.
It started with the Asia thing, but he's actually big into his food. Or is that not really? Himself and his mother are big into food, so they make me go to restaurants that I wouldn't have gone to, things like that. So he's really into that. And I'm sort of going, hang on a second, we get Thai every Friday night, and you won't get it. So, and now you want to go to Japan. Mm-hmm. So, you need to start at home, bud. but he's just finding it really interesting because he hasn't watched much on that side.
Tell me, ages, darling, how do we begin to covet? Covet what we see every day.
But it's great because, well, obviously, I think it's great because I'm starting to watch it again with him. I think it's a great series, and it's great that it's only 3 episodes because he covers a lot of ground. That's fun, lighthearted. It's good. It's good. I would recommend it. What should you watch?
Do they get him to eat that fish that they bury in the ground for 30 years and then charge $1 million an ounce for it?
They didn't do that one, but they did similar. I'll tell you later.
Okay.
I'll tell you later. Yeah. There's some other ones that, yeah.
Steve, where can you watch that?
Yeah, it is on Netflix.
Cool.
Yeah.
Have any of you caught up with Wheel of Time since we last spoke?
No. Is it cancelled yet?
It has been greenlit for seasons 2 and 3. Two is in filming, and they're filming 3 back to back.
No way. Wow.
It's hugely popular. Hugely popular.
Is it? And
I love it. Like, it's the highlight of my week when the episodes drop. Like,
okay.
But the most recent episode had some HLA.
No way.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And the HLA is not in the books, right? And then there's a friend of mine that I talked to about this show because he read the books around about the same time as I did 20 years ago, like, or 30 years ago. And I messaged him and I said, did this lesbian relationship happen in the books? He said, because like That's the kind of thing I'd have remembered in my 20s, I think. And he responded saying, no, it's all very kind of, it's kind of hinted at in the books, but there's never any actual love scenes or nothing with the severity that happened in this particular episode.
So just tell us, like, how graphic are we talking about here?
And I was going to say, and Mike really wants to know, is Rosamund involved?
She is.
Oh, suit you, sir.
Right. So get this, right? So get
Don't
this.
Wear out that pause button, Mike.
In the book, right, these two female characters are kind of referred to as having been pillow friends, right?
Mm.
Now, all I had to go on was the book. So in my naivete, I just figured, right, they were good mates and maybe they fucking had sleepovers or something, right? I never thought that there was like scissoring or anything. So, and apparently that was as far as Robert Jordan was willing to go. He kind of allowed readers to draw their own conclusions from there. But in the TV show, they were quite determined that they would make this a fully fledged relationship, right? Nice. And then I wondered to myself, because you see the way I brought that up to you guys, I mentioned, oh, now it has HLA, right? And I thought to myself, well, that's happening all over the world, right? Fellas are saying to other fellas, oh, do you see the two girls kissing in Wheel of Time, right? So I thought to myself, surely LGBTQ plus are in a furor about being taken advantage of. So I went on a couple of forums just to see what the deal was. And no, apparently LGBTQ plus think it's great.
I think you're short a few letters now, Mark.
Yeah.
Oh, too. No doubt. Yeah.
But, and a plus anyway, sign.
Anyway, apparently it's generally, like, obviously this, you know, opinions are mixed, but generally it's supposed to be very well handled and very true to life and things like that. So not overly sexualized.
Top tips, Mike.
In terms of the storyline, though, it works really well.
I bet it does.
It makes sense of that relationship in a way that the books probably couldn't have done.
Now, don't finish now. Just keep talking.
No, here's the best bit. Here's the best bit, right? So you have Rosamund Pike, as you mentioned, who is also a producer in this show. It's going to be minted when this is done. She wanted this other woman to take this part, and she was kind of not sure about it. So she wrote her like a fairly lengthy letter explaining how much she wanted her. And yes, all the double entendres are brilliant here. And convinced her to take the role.
Oh, I'll produce, all right.
So yeah. I imagine the opening line of the letter was, "Hi, do you know how we never shifted?" Wait, let me finish. Hear me out. But anyway, it's going strong. It's really good. It's brilliant. It's the best thing on TV at the moment. Watch it.
So is she changing her name to Rosamund Weinstein now, or?
Oh, no need.
We need to worry about anything like that.
Oh, no hanging fruit, Steve.
Yeah.
But gentlemen, it is Christmas or nearly Christmas time. And as you know, I've been watching a Christmas movie every week.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we do in this house to prepare. And one of those weeks, I put two of them on the list for you guys.
God damn it, Mark. You fucking shit dog.
Who wants to talk about Single All the Way?
You do. Tell us, Mark. Jumping at the bit there.
Well, spoiler, I really enjoyed this movie, right? But Single All the Way is a Christmas rom-com. Its main character is, I'm looking for his name here, bear with me. Michael Urie. Michael Urie plays the part of Peter, who hasn't ever been very lucky in love. And heads home, basically, to meet the family and brings his best friend, his best platonic friend, Nick, with him. And the story kind of develops from there. They decide they're going to pretend to be actual boyfriends, non-platonic, like with kissing, so that he'll get a break from his family. To be fair, it's a Christmas storyline you've heard before.
There's an awful lot of familiarity.
Right, go to it, lads. Go to it.
I want to hear you first.
Oh, no, I just really liked it. I thought the characters were well written. I thought they were well acted. I do think it was a little formulaic in that there's been the exact same scenario in many different movies before, but I thought this was a really good version of that formula. So if you can get past the fact that it's a little bit formulaic, I really liked the final act. I thought the way they wrap things up, I want to say quite satisfying, but I'm worried you guys will mock me.
No, it's all great. It's all right, Mark.
I thought it was a really satisfying conclusion, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because obviously every rom-com has a formula, right? Boy meets girl or boy meets boy in this case. You know, there are feelings between them, but there's obstacles. And over the course of three acts of a movie, they overcome the obstacles and get together at the end, right? There's your formula for every rom-com nearly in the world, right? And this one's no different. But I think that the way they wind up is really good. And I think they put a bit of thought into it and they stayed true to the characters while they were doing it, which I thought was good. So that was what I think. I liked it. What did you guys hate about it?
Mike, you seem to have more than me to hate on this, so.
No,
polar opposite first.
All I'll say is, you know, there are 24-hour Christmas movie channels running all through December. And this is just yet another filler of that 24 hours. You got, 12 movies a day for 30 days. We've got to get some content in there somewhere. So it's fine. It's, you know, as you say, it follows the formula. I didn't really see anything in it that would stand out and say, oh, this one's worth watching more than the next one on your 24-hour channel.
I'm with you.
I thought, you know, I'm struggling to think of anything to really hate on it because it is what it is. It's part of the genre.
It is very much what it is, yeah. But it's like the quality, though, in there is good. Like, it's not... We've talked about films before that were honest with themselves about what they were. Right?
Yeah.
Like, this is definitely one of those. It's not trying to be something that's not. Mm-hmm. But I think that its conviction and being a Christmas rom-com stands to it.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of Christmas in here.
Yes, there certainly is. Yes.
You know, which to me, I'm saying this because I think this is a good thing. That's why I put it on, right? And I do think the actors are good in this. And I think the writing is decent, you know. Like, it can be a bit harder to suspend your disbelief when you've seen the formula before. I accept that, you know.
Yeah. They're friends. They should be in love. Everyone sees it but them.
Yeah, 100%.
They would make such a good couple. Oh, we've only been friends for 20 years. So, no, it's never going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe, oh, God. Maybe his parents were a bit sassy and said things he didn't expect them to for somebody their age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, funny.
Anyway, my wife is also my best friend.
Yeah, look, it wasn't a movie for me. Look, it's rom-coms wouldn't be my go-to by any means. I can't say, I'm kind of like with Mike on this, because it is what it is, and it is what it set out to be. Not pretending to be anything else, not trying to be anything else. The quality of writing is probably on par with that genre as well. Mm. You know,
I would argue it's a little bit better.
I'm not so convinced. And the main protagonist annoyed the piss out of me because he's such a whiner.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was always fucking whining. Jesus, it was like fucking Luke Skywalker in
I thought he thread the needle quite well there, if you'll forgive the metaphor. I thought that was well balanced to my mind.
I have to agree with Steve. I think he was okay. weak link in the film.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Who's the dad?
He's been in a bunch of stuff. I had to look it up in the end. Yeah.
He looks very Battlestar Galactica-ish, doesn't he?
I mean, doesn't he? Yeah, or even Dynasty or something. I don't know. Yeah. You know,
Barry Bostwick is the actor.
Barry Bostwick, yeah, yeah.
I looked this up at the time, what he was in.
Filmography or something.
I don't remember now.
Yeah, yeah. but he's in. Yeah, he's just a very familiar face. There are a few laughs in this, but there aren't too many. And the laughs are more sort of kind of laughs rather than, you know. I don't know. I definitely wouldn't watch it again. I'll tell you that. But it's not because it's an atrocious movie. It's just because it doesn't appeal to me. Geez, if I was to give it a number, dude, I don't know. To be fair to it, I'd probably give it a 5.
That's a reasonable
Do you think it belongs in the B movie scale?
No, because there's too much money in it. There's too much money in it, the acting was good. You know, for the most part, it was very good. I didn't find any difficulty with that, or writing, or the amount of money that was spent on it. Actually,
it was, and the Christmas lights.
I do like Christmas lights. Yeah, I think it's pretty. It's pretty average in that kind of.
Mike, if you had to give it a number.
I was thinking sort of 3 or 4, but that's just a general genre thing. Like a really good one of that would leap up to 5.
That's kind of where I'm thinking, yeah. You know, to be fair to it, you know.
Yeah. I would not say this is a terrible, awful, horrible movie that nobody should ever watch. It's just that it's not something that I would ever watch unless somebody my friend would make me watch it.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I do. I pretend to be your friend to make you watch movies.
What about you, Mark?
You're not going to like. I have to score it honestly, right? So objectively, it's not going to win an Oscar, right? But I do think in the genre, it's a good example. So I'd probably be around a 5 as well, I think, yeah. But I would watch it again, I think. If it was on next Christmas on TV and came on, I'd watch it again. But speaking of films that were bad, why don't we talk about The Power of the Dog or whatever?
No, I was going to talk about Oscar contenders since you mentioned Oscars there.
Sure.
Yeah.
Can we still talk about Oscars?
Well,
I thought they were cancelled. They're literally irrelevant at this stage.
Yeah. But, you know, they still have to have their night out with their mates, you know. So, so Power of the Dog stars Benedict Cumberbatch, Kirsten Dunst, Jesse Plemons, and Cody Schmidt-McPhee. It's set in 1925 Montana. Phil Burbank, played by Benedict, lives with his brother George, Jesse, in a large mansion on the ranch. He's the type of cowboy your mother warned you about. He's a cruel, ignorant, insecure bully, essentially. He's a bit of an old prick, actually. So
people like him, though.
The guys he pays like him, I noticed.
I think people like him.
Yeah, so they like his conversation. You're right. That's right. People, he's not a breakdown. That's right. Enter the widow, Rose Gordon, who's played by Kirsten, and her son, Peter. George and Rose.
Sorry, a moment silence there.
So George and Rose strike up a relationship. They get married, and so they all move into the mansion and upset the prior, what would you call it, order in the house that existed previously.
Yeah. The equilibrium is disturbed.
Tension and long-held secrets start to bubble to the surface.
When you say so it like that, it makes it sound like something happens.
So this is directed by Jane Campion, who also did The Piano and The Top of the Lake.
And so sleeps a lot while the camera's rolling.
Yeah.
Her films are so peaceful.
I have to say, fair play to her the Montana hills set in New Zealand for a start. The hills are amazing. The house is amazing.
Hills are amazing.
The cattle drives, I think, look amazing. The tracking shots that are used a lot, like there's some that are one shots and you're sort of going, holy shit, that was amazing.
Yeah, I agree.
They were beautiful. The score is excellent, I thought, which joins in with the cattle drives and that kind of thing, except for one scene that I found particularly grating. And I don't think it matched what was happening by any means. I think it was just miscast bit of score there. I'll talk to you later about it if you want to discuss.
I know that at one point while I was watching this, the music was grinding my gears, and I was there going, what am I doing with my life that I'm sitting here watching this?
Was it when?
It's almost like a friend of yours made you watch something you didn't want to watch.
There's no spoiler to it. Kirsten was running after some Indians who were looking for some heights. And it was at that stage.
That's right. That went on so long.
That music was just like, oh, Jesus, that was brutal.
You're right. That is what it was.
So what else? So the reason I like this, and the reason I liked it is that it built on itself, much like any story. But I found that this was real chapterized.
Put numbers up every so often in the screen.
But that doer that is really building on the story as it went along. You're not looking ahead to see. Well, I wasn't. I wasn't looking. I was just enjoying the journey rather than the looking for where's the fucking destination? Where are we going with this?
Well, it was hard to find a destination due to the lack of events.
I would agree with you to a point. There was no killing, no shooting. This is true.
I would put it another way. There was no story momentum. They broke it into chapters because the height of it, the most exciting thing that would happen would be a conversation.
You did get to the end of it, right?
Yeah, I watched it all.
Okay.
I did my homework.
Even in retrospect, you still...
Yeah.
Okay.
In the really? End, the thing that happened, you never saw.
Or did you?
No.
You didn't see it?
You didn't.
I don't know.
You were left to wonder, actually.
Oh, well, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there are things that happen.
Why is that happening?
Well,
it's very much open at the end.
Yeah. Maybe it did, maybe it didn't. And I'm going, Jesus Christ, I'm wasting my life.
I don't know about that. I was kind of following it. That's kind of what it meant, that the story was building chapter by chapter.
Steve, I respectfully disagree. Like,
that's all right.
I get the impression you saw more in it than I did. And maybe the fact that early on I decided for myself that it was rubbish didn't help, because it can switch off a big chunk of your brain at times.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe you saw things that I didn't.
Well,
what I saw were excellent settings, right? Acting and dialogue that was very true to that setting. But the problem with that was that it was so humdrum and every day that it bored the life out of me. And what it was missing was a couple of something just out of the ordinary, really.
Some accidents.
Anything. A bit of action. Like, would it kill them to have an old shootout or two that were, you know, with a high body count? Like, you know what I mean? If Ernie taught it, well, that's what I was looking for. Like, if Ernie taught us anything, it's that body counts make dollars.
Speaking of single all the way.
No, but that's a different thing,
joking,
though.
I'm joking.
That is a different thing.
Yeah,
Mike, come on.
I'm almost embarrassed to say it, but I've been to Montana.
Right.
Yeah, nice.
Doesn't look like that.
No.
Doesn't it? Well, no. Not the bits I've seen.
But did you get far from Brokeback Mountain, though?
I was waiting for that. There is a certain brokebackness to this movie.
There is, yeah.
Which is, does it add anything to the movie?
No. You think that it's about to, but then nothing fucking happens?
Yeah.
Any moment now someone's going to get an erection, you think to yourself, and then they don't.
And Ben, I call into question the casting. I mean, I've heard people saying this is the best performance of Benedict's career.
Oh, come on.
I know. It's
I think he was totally
recent career, maybe.
I just didn't believe him in the role.
He was a better fucking dragon in The Hobbit than he was in A Cowboy in This.
Well, that's the other. Well, Jesse was missing for half of it, at least.
Like when the lead actor is gone missing, that's a big problem for your movie.
Yeah.
The other casts weren't too bad. I thought they did all right, but Benedict, he was lost in this. This is not his movie. He just about got away with the accent. But to my mind, it was like watching David Frost.
She's showing her age now, Mike.
Yeah. he just wasn't right in the role, and that killed the movie for me stone dead.
I probably disagree with you there. I believed him. Like, I believed his character. Yeah,
I didn't even notice the accents. Is that the truth? Yeah,
like to me, it looked like someone who'd internalized an awful lot of struggle and angst and was a bit of a bastard because of it. I found his character fairly true. Like, like there, I can see why a person like that would exist. You know, and I thought Benedict played it well. I just, again, I go back to the fact that nothing happened. I've no interest in seeing a 2-hour, 10-minute long play on, you know, in 4K HDR. There's no need. Like,
it was gorgeous though. Gorgeous, gorgeous play.
No, it was. Like, the cinematography is really good. It's not worth the 2 hours, 10 minutes.
I would argue it would be. Yeah. I think it's great. I thought it was great. I thought it was a great bit of writing. Actually, and you know what? You're not wrong. It probably would make a great play.
Well, it would make a good play. Yeah, it would. Yeah. There's, I really need to look this up between in podcasts sometime. What's the thing? Chekhov's gun, or that you never see the gun. There's any amount of those. Like, why was his hand cut?
Oh, I think that's part of what Steve is alluding to as the important thing at the end of the show.
Yeah,
but why though, and how?
I'll tell you later.
We're not going to explain that to you as part of the movie. Yeah. We're just going to get a friend of yours to tell you about it afterwards.
Yeah.
But do you not think that they owe it to us, Mike? To tell me what's going on.
They do owe us to us, but they're not going to give it to us.
But even if they had done, it wouldn't have made me like it any better.
See, as we're going along, and I was saying, you know, as I said, you know, built on, and, you know, they said the number of the chapters is great. Yeah. There was at least one part in every one of those where I was watching with my good wife, where we would sort of look at each other and go, ah, and then the next one we go, ah, really? You know,
right. So you were collaborating.
Yeah, we're sort of go, oh, is that a, oh, could it be, you know, and then we'd say, oh, was, yeah, yeah. So
because
that's the way it sort of led for us. So.
Steve, what was actually happening was you were looking at the plot and going, aha. And she was thinking about Paul Hollywood and going, aha.
I should make my dough rise, all right. Is that right? Is that Paul Hollywood? Go on. All right. So anyway, I think Benedict could be up for an Oscar out of this. This is what I was talking about at the start.
It was nearly bad enough with little enough action that he could get an Oscar for it, I think. Mm.
And there fits the criteria. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, criteria. Yeah.
Maybe if they put some armor on him and got him digging up IEDs in Iraq.
There you go. At least there was a threat of something happening there.
What about Kirsten? I thought she was very well cast.
Oh, yes. She's always
well. I think she did well, yeah.
Yeah, she looked like a recent immigrant from, I don't know, Germany or Austria or somewhere like that. She kind of had that look about her. She has those features, you know. And so, are you just being silly? All right. And I thought she was brilliant. Sort of, you know, the way she gets into a bit of a heap. I thought she did very well in that. I mean, might be easy for you to play off, Mike, but you know. Picture Mike on a Sunday morning. There you go. That's what you did, part of her training. I thought highly of this movie. It's not a 9 or anything like that. It's probably correct. Not an 8. I'd be looking at a 7 for this, but I'd highly recommend it, Sev.
Oh, I think God,
it,
I wouldn't
what should I watch this week? If you want a good movie this week that you'll make you think, I think this one.
I think the tagline should be something like, have you seen Drive? Did too many things happen there? Was there enough silence?
No.
Then you should watch The Power of Dog, another film where nothing happens and there is lots of silence. What's the other one? Something about the pines?
Maybe Driver. Oh, Purple
Drive,
Butterfly or something?
Drive,
yeah.
Maybe you should watch Drive instead, because sometimes they drive cars.
Give us a mark.
5.
5. Mike?
Yeah, I think if you want to watch something about Montana where nothing much happens, but it looks really nice, you should watch A River Runs Through It.
That's a great film. That's nothing like this one.
Yes, it's a great movie. five-ish, yeah.
Around the five. Around the five, we'd say.
I watch a YouTube channel that is based on farmers in Montana, and they just vlog as they do their stuff. It doesn't look like this, Montana. It really doesn't. No, it's way, 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 way flatter.
Yes, it's a very flat place. Until it's not.
Until it's not, exactly.
None,
yeah, yeah.
None of these rolling hills there.
Okay, what else we see this week? Santa Inc. Mike.
Oh,
Santa, you boys saw this. Tell us about this. I can see a bit of a polar opinion on this, but let's see. Let's see what happens.
No pun intended.
So Santa Inc. is the story of the Santa business. So basically, you have Santa setting up for his one big shot at the title every year. And nobody realizes the supporting cast that goes into getting this day done.
Never do, Mike.
They never do. So the thrust of this show is it's about what's happening with the elves and they're not feeling appreciated in their work.
All right, good. It's about time they spoke up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the overriding story of what this is about.
Okay. Huh. Let me know when I can go.
Go, Mark. Go, Mark. Let us have it.
So, like, this is a classic case of somebody trying too hard.
Oh,
to be funny. It really is. Like, the first time somebody in the show curses, it's amusing. But then they keep doing it. And I know I curse a lot, right? I'm hardly one to throw stones here in my glass house.
Shock.
But they curse a lot. And the first time you go, oh, that's funny. A cute little elf said the F word. But after a while then, it's just, it's not, you know, and it's not, when it's not funny, then you're sitting there listening to it like, not for me. No, there's a couple of good gags in it, right? Which I'm not going to spoil. A couple of times I kind of, yeah, very good. In terms of the voice acting, I think it's really good. Like, it's a bit like what I was talking about earlier that they do with He-Man. They try and say, let's just say that this is all real. How would these people act in real life? And then they let it go. But where that kind of falls apart for me is where they do things in the service of comedy that I kind of pulls me out of it a bit. And I'm going, you're just fucking showing in a joke there, like, for the sake of it.
This is written by Seth Rogen, right?
Yep. Seth and Sarah Silverman.
Yeah, well, they both wrote it and they're both in it.
Well, Sarah's always been a very good voice actor as well. Yeah. But Seth has a history of Sausage Fest and other such comedies.
Yeah. Anyway, I didn't like it.
Which I presume this is what the problem is with it. It's the same kind of comedy style. It's kind of nearly made for their mates kind of comedy.
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head, Steve.
Is that what it is? Yeah, good. Yes. Glad I got it right. Yeah.
It is such artistic arrogance. They have absolutely lost touch with the audience. You know, they are basically making this for the people that they have lunch with every weekend, you know. And it's like, oh, look how clever I am. I said the F word and I'm an elf. And I was like, oh, that's so hilarious. Oh, Seth, you're a genius.
Oh, so we had very differing views about this then. This is interesting. So you think this is pandering, whereas to me, absolutely. I thought they were trying their best to be funny and just overdoing it.
Oh, no, I think they know exactly what they're doing, but they have forgotten that the idea of entertainment is to actually entertain, and they're just trying to entertain their friends now because they have so much money, they don't give a fuck what you and I think about it.
I was having a conversation with someone about this very, very similar subject recently, and we dubbed it LA humor. Because it's for all their mates in LA that are rich and comedians. So it's kind of like Joe Rogan has a few comedians that he's a big fan of and he'd have on his podcast. I don't see what he sees in their comedy, you know, but he thinks they're hilarious, you know. Yeah. So is it that kind of, I am not saying that they're pandering, but is it that kind of humor that comedians get it and they think it's hilarious and so they bump each other up? And so
it's not even that. I mean, it's lazy, lazy stuff, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're going on, you know, Santa is a white man's job and this kind of stuff.
Cheap shots.
Just cheap shots. There's very little or no creativity in it. You know, and I can deal with having a go at Santa if you're going to be interesting about it. But, yeah. You know, this is,
yeah,
it's just boring and lazy.
Definitely wasn't fresh anyway.
Yeah.
Right. That's an awful pity. Yeah.
So it's a don't watch from the What Should I Watch crew.
It's a don't watch. Okay. Yeah. Not even a number. Wow. Yeah.
And I mean, I was sitting there watching, I think, when was the last time Seth Rogen or Sarah Silverman were funny? I couldn't remember.
Sarah does have a few.
She had a recently. Hilarious thing with Jason Bourne like 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah, no. But since then, she's what was the name of that?
It's the one Seth Rogen did with Zac Efron. Bad Neighbors.
Yeah.
That was funny. I enjoyed that.
Sarah played a little girl who gets involved with a computer game, and it's got all the computer game characters. Come on, help me out here, Mark. It's animated, obviously.
Yeah, I know the one you're thinking about.
You know the one I'm talking about?
Ralph Rex something.
Yes, Ralph. Wreck-It Ralph.
Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah.
Seth Rogen was in that too, wasn't he? He was Wreck-It Ralph.
Couldn't tell you. She was brilliant, didn't I?
I digress.
One thing I wanted to mention that I forgot to mention at the start is I went and watched Lupin Season 2. Okay. I'd forgotten.
Is that an English TV show?
A French.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And a massive cliffhanger at the end of season one, and season two just picked up. There's only 5 episodes in it, and Seth said, oh, look, it's back on. Oh, yeah, should we watch an episode of that? 4 episodes later, we went to bed. And so we don't follow up the following day. You know, it's really good. It's easy TV, you know.
Is that the one with the girl from Spirale?
No, it's not. No.
Okay.
I'll get the name of that for you, Mike. Yeah, Audrey Fleurot. Yeah. Like a fine wine, she is. Was there anything else you want to talk about? Are we done? I think we're done. Okay. On that note, from Mike, Mark, and Steve, stay classy. Classy.
You didn't even try. You just said assy at the end.
Okay. Look, I pointed my fucking finger edges.
Saying assy. Yeah, thanks, Mike. Yeah. Good night, Mike.